Anyway, I prepared some opening remarks, and I don't know if you remember, but this was one of the most famous commercials in television, and this was at the time of the Super Bowl in 1984 when Apple introduced the Macintosh computer. And there was, at that time, just as there is today, there's the I am the Mac and I am the PC advertisements. But this woman came running down. It was like a Big Brother meeting. And Big Brother was talking to all the clones. And they marched into this big stadium, and Big Brother representing IBM. And so this woman comes along. And for those of you who can observe carefully over here, you'll see a prototype of the iPod. And she came running down and destroyed the screen where Big Brother representing IBM was. And so this is one of the, and if you're interested in looking at this commercial, you know, just go on Google and Apple Super Bowl commercial. Sociologists came up with a technology term called creative destruction. And creative destruction is where you incessantly destroying the old structure and creating a new one from the old structure. And as I said, more of a sociological term, and you see it once in a while in the technological literature. And for those of you, I don't use Netflix, but Netflix created a prize in 2006, and they offered $1 million to any group that can improve its movie recommendation system. And thousands of teams from 186 countries participated in this contest, but only two teams won. So that means getting teams to work together isn't very easy. It's difficult. And what they did is they used the internet, and teams formed and reformed sort of like a biological system in order to evolve, in order to get the winning team. And the winning team consisted of seven members from the U.S., Canada, Austria, and Israel, and each one had a different skill set. And the biggest lesson was learned was the power of a collaboration. And this approach was so successful that Netflix created another contest trying to come up with something else that was bothering them. You know. And another prize, a recent prize, is the L Prize, and that was from the Department of Energy. It's going to give up to $10 million to the first person or group to create a new energy-efficient version of the 60-watt light bulb. And the criteria for this, well, you've probably read this already, but is that it has the same amount and color of light made by a 60-watt incandescent bulb, but only uses 10 watts of power and has to last 25 times longer than a current light bulb, the incandescent light bulb. Well, and so, how can we deal with the professional challenges that lie ahead? And even though the sociologists may have this term creative destruction, we know that that's going to take place. And for some of you, most of you are elderly or elderly, you have gray hair, you know. And so you probably remember Digital Equipment Corporation. At one time, Digital Equipment Corporation was the second largest computer manufacturer in the world. And now they're gone. And part of that was the outlook that they had. And the president of Digital Equipment Corporation said, there is no reason for any individual to have a computer in his home. And that's why Digital Equipment Corporation is no longer with us, as is Data General. Some of you may remember Data General. And so let me specifically address an area of interest that I'm interested in, but you can apply it to other subjects. And crop simulation modeling, among many applications, can play an important role in plant breeding. And why? Because we're in a future where we have increasing population, decreasing land resources, and a changing climate. And also you have biological limitations to how much yield you can get. So normally it takes about 12 years, say, to develop a new cultivar of winter wheat. If you can cut that in half, then you're saving a lot of time, and you can also customize the cultivars to specific locations. A major challenge facing crop simulation modeling is incorporating the necessary genomic information in models in order to address phenotypic plasticity in response to biotic and abiotic stresses. How much knowledge do we need to accomplish this? For example, if you look in photosynthesis, if you have a biochemist talk about photosynthesis, it's a very detailed explanation of the process involved in that. But if you look at the Farquhar model, they've synthesized a lot of the key elements in it, and they've created an instructive model. But the only way you can do that is if you have a thorough understanding, and we're probably still far from a thorough understanding. And then again, the biblical choice, who shall live and who shall die, it's the same. Sometimes we can get emotionally involved with the code we've written, and it may be hard for some of us to let it go. Well, the question that we may want to think about, not just for crop simulation modeling, but the area of expertise, the area of your interests might be, is it possible to use the Netflix or L-Prizes as a prototype to assemble international teams of scientists addressing this and other important issues?